Welcome back to The People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati, who's ordering a Billy Miner pie right now as we speak. A full one. Oh, he had to hang up.
We're on air. I'm going to hang up.
That's so professional of you.
So, John Shorthouse, play-by-play man for the Canucks for umpteenth years. He's never had a Billy Miner pie from the keg.
They are delicious.
So, after the show's over, I'm planning to run by the keg and purchase one for him so that he can, have that experience.
And because he's a gentleman, he was like, hey, pick one up for the whole booth.
The whole pie.
Yeah, not just a slice. So, we'll see how that goes. One question that we don't have a lot of time to get into it, but one question that we were floating around pre-show, Ben, expert golfer, Dom, opposite. The question we had is if Ben, Dom just got a call back about his Billy Miner pie. The question we had was, how many strokes if Ben went golfing with Dom and Ben was Dom's caddy, he was his coach on the course, how many strokes could Ben shave off Dom's score?
I'm confident that if he's shooting 105-ish,
yeah,
I can get him under 100.
I was going to say like between 7 to 10.
Yeah, like reading putts, okay, maybe don't take a 3-wood out of the rough from like 240.
You're like, hey, stop the hero shots. We're gonna figure it out.
Like play within what you know you can do here.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see. We got to get you out for one round.
I
want to
do it with like my dad.
Right.
Just be like, he's like a 14, 13 handicap. I'm like, what can I do for you?
Yeah. Would you be disappointed if you couldn't do much, though?
I would be very rattled.
Ah. Dom, we don't have time to get to your answer here because we got to go to
10 strokes.
That's what
10
we said.
10 strokes.
I said between 7 and 10.
I love the confidence.
We've got the pie for Shorty. It's confirmed.
Awesome. By the way, it is The People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati. This segment of The People Show is brought to you by Hyundai. And right now we're going to go to that interview we talked about. Brody Miller, Ben and I interviewed. He covers golf at the Athletic, Augusta National. He's there right now. The Masters getting going tomorrow. Thanks for taking the time, Brody. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
No worries. Excited to have you on. How's Augusta right now?
It's beautiful, but beautiful for now until weather is expected to be pretty rough tomorrow. But so far, it's been a good week.
Good to hear. So this week, always every year, even for like casual sports fans, we know how special it is, and it has a different feel, you know. Can you put into words what's different about this week in golf? And you know, again, we all feel it, we know how special it is, but how would you describe what's different about this week?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many elements to it, right? I mean, you almost have to start with just the genuine beauty of it, as corny as I sound saying that, but it is just this lush, green, perfectly manicured course with these, like, everything just contrasts and bounces off each other so perfectly, where you have these lush greens with the brown pine straw, the beautiful pine trees. Everything is just, like, the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, either on TV and then especially in person. Then you throw on top of that it is the one major that it goes at the same course every year. So it's the one place where you're going for a major and you truly have the context and the history to look back on, where you can say, hey, this is where Jack Nicklaus did this in 86. This is where Tiger Woods did this in 97. This is where Bubba Watson hit that and shot in 2010. And I think that honestly is why, in my opinion, it does carry even more weight each year, because it's the one course where we know the holes. We know what happens on 16 and what happens on 12 and all that. And I think that just adds an element to, you know, the scar tissue and the relationships, because golf, I think, is so built on context. And it's like, we remember Jordan Spieth hitting it into the water here on 12 and what that did to him. And now he's carrying it with him 8 years later, yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, it's a beautiful, incredible place with so much tradition. And it's why it's the best week of the year.
Brody, I'd love to know, in your mind, what makes Augusta different in the fact that everyone brings up how important it is to have course knowledge, and it seems like that's more important here than anywhere else on tour. So how much of that is being used to all that comes with the Masters in terms of the prestige and the patrons and the roars and everything you alluded to, and just the goosebumps that comes with that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because I wouldn't say people are bored with sometimes where golf is headed, but sometimes it feels a little less impressive or less substantial when it's like, a U.S. Open where a guy's just driving it the furthest, hitting it out of the rough for a chip, and then, like, it doesn't feel like proper test of who the best golfer is. And you're right that Augusta is a place where that course knowledge and knowing, hey, if you hit it 5 yards to left here on the green, that you're actually putting yourself in a bogey position instead of a birdie position. And, like, the difference of 2 yards where your drive goes can change an entire round. I do think that's what makes this so nuanced. And I think it's also not a place where driver distance wins you the tournament. Really, history shows it's not actually that kind of course at all. And the longest hitters haven't really won here in a long time. And I think that adds an element that it's truly a second shot course. It's your irons and your approach and your wedges. And that's what I think golf really is at its best when it's, hey, I know how to hit into the screen. I know where to hit onto the screen. I know exactly how to play this putt or this chip. And those are the guys that do the best. You have these players who might not even be that good every day on tour, maybe like the 25th best player in the world, but they are just elite at Augusta National because they know it and they fit there. So I think that does really add an element to the history. And it's why a Tiger Woods at 48, yeah, he's probably not going to win this week, but he can make cuts like he did last year with a torn up body because he just knows the place. And I think that adds something.
Looking at the favorites for this week, do you foresee that the LIV players, you know, could have another great tournament like they did last year, where the likes of Phil and Koepka, you know, were in contention, came second? Of course, Rom won, who now joined LIV, is a little bit of an issue per se. But you know, having this happen, you know, between the PGA Tour and LIV and all the drama that there was last year, do you think LIV could have another strong showing this year, even though they haven't played nearly as much tournament golf, maybe heading into this week?
Yeah. So the quick answer is definitely, right? You know, I think at the end of the day, even though obviously the PGA Tour is the stronger overall field, and there's no doubt about that, LIV definitely at this point has, you know, they have half of the last, you know, 12 major champions, and maybe more actually. They have a very good chunk of the best 15 players in the world. They just maybe don't have as many of the top 50. And what that means is, yeah, that you have a setup where you have 5-6 guys that totally, absolutely, objectively have a chance to win this tournament. What will make it a little trickier is, you know, John Rahm obviously is one of the 3 or 4 favorites, as he should be, defending champ, always played well here. I think you have to consider him one of the favorites. But it'll be a big test for him to see, this is a new role for him. He's generally a popular player, a guy who, you know, as this golf historian who really loves this stuff and is emotional about it and has always been liked. And now he's, even though it's not as dramatic as it was a year ago when people left, he's kind of the villain now. He has all this new pressure on him for leaving. But on top of that, you don't necessarily love the form some of these LIV guys are in. You know, Brooks Koepka is obviously the best major player of his generation. You know, not to overreact to PGA Tour results, I mean, or LIV results, but he has not played well this year. Quite frankly, he's truly not. He's looked a little rough at times. And, you know, Dustin Johnson has not really looked good the last 4 tournaments. Joaquin Niemann is a player who I love and is really taking a leap into genuinely being one of the 10 best players in the world over at LIV, but he's never finished better than 16th at a major. You know, so you have a lot. And Bryson DeChambeau also playing super well right now, but is not a course fit at Augusta and has never done particularly well here. So the answer is totally yes, because you have 6 or 7 guys that are some of the best major players in the world. I am just skeptical just when you combine the factors and trends that tend to lead to a Masters win.
Just before, you brought up the Tiger Woods Masters cut streak, and it wouldn't be a Masters week without talking about Tiger. And, you know, everyone wants to know what are his chances to win, and so much attention just goes to him naturally when he steps on the grounds at Augusta. So do you think he can win? And what does it say about the state of golf that, you know, viewership ratings and just overall attention are kind of based on how he is doing?
It's a great question, because probably don't think he can win. You know, not even because of the injuries in a vacuum, but probably more because the part that gets left out so often is that Tiger Woods doesn't play golf anymore. You know, he just doesn't. Like, he was able to play 72 holes in the Bahamas in December, which was a huge step. But at the time, he said, hey, I think I'm going to be able to play once a month. And then he wasn't able to make it through 2 days of the Genesis Invitational, which is his tournament. And he didn't play any of the March events. And he said, and he admitted this week, it's because my body wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And he's optimistic that maybe he can play the majors and play once a month. But at the end, like, the difference, we know he knows the course. And he can still hit his irons and hit some, like, great shots because he's Tiger Woods. But I think the nuances come out in the practice, right? In the reps. He doesn't have the reps. He's not out there. He's doing so much with the PGA Tour policy board, and like his massive role in golf right now is a key figure in the future of kind of building the tour, and like in Zoom meetings and all that every day. He's not practicing. He is not playing. So because of that, I have a feeling he probably cannot win it, but I will never doubt him to make the cut just on pure will and knowledge. But to your second part of your question, which is a great question, it is tricky. Golf has good stars. I do believe that. But golf is in a tough spot of its biggest stars aren't acting like it. You know, Rory McIlroy has had an incredible last 5 years, but hasn't won a major in 11 years. And he's not playing very well right now. So many of the best guys are just not actually playing. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, they're not playing well this season. They're not playing well really in the grand scheme in the last few years. And I think that hurts golf at times. And Scottie Scheffler is reaching a level where he is the clear best player in the world. But he's not the same. He's becoming a star, truly. But he is not the same marketable star as you know, some of these other guys. And Wyndham Clark's having a great year. He's not that kind of star. What that leads to is still probably an overdependence on Tiger Woods. I do think the audience as a whole, I'm noticing it in our comment sections and things like that, there's a bit of Tiger fatigue finally happening. I think you're starting to see people be like, why are we showing him at two over when there's better golf on the course? And I think it's a good thing in the grand scheme of things, but there's definitely still a dependence. There's just nothing like the allure of Tiger.
With Scottie Scheffler playing as well as he's played this year, and with him being what seems like the overwhelming favorite heading into this week, is this the most dominant a golfer has felt or been since that prime Tiger phase that we all remember?
Yeah, I in some way, let's put it this way. In true statistical, like strokes game data, which I get so into, he is literally playing the best level of golf for a 2 year span since peak, like 06-ish Tiger Woods. And that is it's not even just that he's playing as well as he is, it's that he's sustaining it week in, week out. I mean, there was an entire year where he couldn't putt, and he still, with bad putting numbers, was striking the ball so absurdly well that he would finish top five every single week and top 10 in every single major. And now to see what we're seeing right now, where yeah, his putting's not going to suddenly be good, it'd be foolish to think that, but with the club switch, and it might be temporary, it might go back to a disaster, you have to prepare for that, but he's finally putting like an okay putter or above average at times. Actually, when he won some the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he putted well. When that happens, if he can be an average putter, he is the best player since Tiger. That is clear. And if that happens, he wins the Masters this year. That is just where I'm at with it, because we have enough data to show that he is just not going to lose his ball-striking ability. And on top of that, he's such a responsible player. He's, even though he has this beautiful, majestic shot and this swing that looks so chaotic at times with the footwork and all that, he is one of the smartest, most responsible players who his misses are slight misses that still give him a 30-foot birdie putt. And that's the magic of Scottie Scheffler. So it's really cool to see. And obviously we've had other guys, right? Jordan Spieth in 2015 was unbelievable, but that was just 1 year. Rory McIlroy around 13 to 14, unbelievable, but even that wasn't quite Scottie level. So that's the kind of the bummer is not the right word, but the weird thing about tracking this is Scottie is having a 2 or 3 year stretch where he is truly special and transcendent. But as of now, he technically only has one major. And yes, it's an era where it's just hard to win majors. There's so many good golfers. But the longer it goes on where he doesn't win a second, it just starts feeling strange, right? That he's so good but only has one to show. So I think that'll be a big story this week.
For Scottie, is the potential birth of his first child the only thing that could stop him this week?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, right? And it's like there are players who might say that, and that, because to clarify for the listeners, yeah, he has said that he would leave if winning on Sunday, if his wife went into labor. And there are some players I kind of roll my eyes at that, like, sure you would, buddy. Scottie is genuinely one of the two or three people I know for fact would. He is so committed to his family, so committed to his wife, Meredith, that I am pretty confident he would stop what he's doing and sprint to the nearest airport. So I think he might actually do it. And his best friend in the world, Sam Burns, another top 20 player, his wife is due next week, so mm-hmm. She could also go into labor. So weird times in golf.
It's weird, but I mean, it would be cool to see the commitment. Like, if he's at the top of the leaderboard and he's like, you know what, guys, I got to pull out. It'd be impressive. I don't know if I'd have the capability.
We were joking in the press room. We're like, the power move, though, was if he's winning by, like, six and leaves. Because that's the one, it's the coolest thing that ever anyone's ever done, right? To be like, I'm so good at golf that I don't need to finish this. history would still remember them as the guy who actually won it. And then the guy who wins it will be invalidated for the rest of his career.
Yeah, true.
It would be the ultimate power move.
Mm-hmm. We're joined now by Brody Miller of The Athletic, covers golf for The Athletic. It is the People Show, Josh Elliott Wolf with Ben Bisseron. And you wrote about Victor Hovland at The Athletic and how he's kind of been tinkering with his swing despite he was playing at a very high level. How, you know, like, in his head do you think he is right now, and how difficult can it be to put those thoughts aside before a big tournament like this?
Yeah, so, you know, as you mentioned, Victor Hovland basically ended last year. I mean, it's like, you don't want to get too reactionary, but by the end of last year, I think a lot of us actually put him like slightly ahead of Scottie Scheffler. He was just that hot, that good, and then to go to the Ryder Cup and dominate like he did, he broke the record for biggest blowout win in a doubles match when him and Ludwig Åberg dominated Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler. He was the guy. And then, you know, for listeners, he basically just like what still didn't like his swing that much and thought it was better 3 years ago and just kind of tinkered with it. He changed coaches after the best year of his career. And then he's changed coaches twice since, and he's just tinkering. Now, what I need to wrestle with, and I'm struggling with at times, is this like him in his head and he's lost, or is this just kind of the type of person Victor Hovland is, where he is this, he's a nerd, right? He is a hyper analytical, obsessive, detail, sciencey, engineering type guy who loves fine tuning things and figuring out how to fully optimize. I think he's the kind of guy who says optimize, right? And I think that's probably more true than like he's lost, even though I'm the one who wrote today that he's kind of lost. So I wrestle with that, but to answer your question, yeah, I mean, he is not playing well because of all this. I should clarify that. He is one top 20 finish and five starts. He skipped two big tournaments because he's like, I need to go keep practicing. Is that the right decision? That's another question. You know, should he just go out and play more and not get so in his head? But he is entering this Masters when I think 8 months ago we would have said he's the 12-1 second or third biggest favorite. He's now 35 or 40-1. He is almost a long shot to win this thing, and that is so bizarre considering how talented he is and the fact he plays great here. So history shows someone does not suddenly find it the week of the Masters, so I wouldn't be too optimistic, but he's just so talented, who knows.
We talked a little bit about, you know, the stars in golf right now, and I think from a casual fan's point of view, one of those is Rory McIlroy. Even if he hasn't, you know, he hasn't won a major in over a decade, but he's still, if you ask casual golf fans, he's still the guy that comes up. Do you think he has it in him to win this week? I know you said maybe recently he isn't playing at a high level or a high enough level, I guess, to potentially win. But what do you think he has to do to win this week?
So he can absolutely win, because what makes discussing Rory McIlroy so frustrating, honestly, like genuinely frustrating, is that over the last decade, if you get into like stats and all that, he is the best player in majors of the last 10 years. He is the lowest under par of the last 10 years of majors by 8 shots, I believe. He is, the last like 3 years of majors, he's been like top 5 every other major. He is so close and is year by year. I mean, his golf from 2021 to 2023 is actually better than what we call his prime when he was winning majors all the time. He's better now. That's the truth. But he is just somebody who is, and this is his greatest trait, right, is that he is so well thought out and smart and intellectual and thinks about narratives and what golf history and what it means. That's what we love about him, that he can talk so eloquently about these things. But those same traits are the things that mean that he's constantly in his own head about what winning the Grand Slam means and getting that Masters green jacket. He's so in his head about that. He builds this week up. And this week, he's definitely taking more of a, I'm not going to do too much media stuff, I'm going to just focus. And I think that's healthy for the most part. But it still like shows that he's thinking so much about it. And to your question is, what does it take? Well, the truth is, he's been so close so many times the last 2 years that the answer is just grabbing it. It's not like he's choking, right? He's never choking other than the famous 2011 Masters. He's never really choking. He's just playing okay golf on Sunday when other people go and grab it, right? Cam Smith at the Open Championship in 2022, he just went and grabbed it while Rory played okay. And 2023 U.S. Open, Rory played okay while Wyndham Clark went and grabbed it. And I think that's the thing. Rory just hasn't seemed to show he might be the best golfer, but he just doesn't have that killer, and you're just wondering, is he ever going to have it enough to win a green jacket?
Aside from the stars, is there a dark horse or a long shot in your mind that, you know, maybe many are overlooking right now that could definitely get the job done this week or at least make some noise come Sunday afternoon on the back nine?
So the tough thing with that is always kind of like, what's a long shot, right? Because I think this is general relief, other than there's that weird stretch in like the 2010 era where there was a bunch of random winners. For the most part, this is a place that the studs win. You know, you don't really have randoms just playing out of their mind too often here and winning. So I tend to think you're not going to find somebody higher than, I don't know, 50-1 or something to win. You know, in terms of maybe outside the box ones, Tahith Sigala at 50, I think he's 50-1 most places. He's a really, really, really great player, one of the most talented people out there. He also falls in that camp of hasn't quite shown he has the killer in him to really go take these things. But he went on a crazy Sunday run last year and finished in the top 10. He has all the goods. I think he's a fun one. If you want to go real long shot, I think like Harris English, you might be able to get it like 100 or 120-1. He's somebody who plays well here, has a good course fit here. But I think my non-Scotty pick is, it's not a long shot because his odds are pretty low, but a little out there. Hideki Matsuyama, I think, is my pick to win if it's not Scotty. And since, I mean, he won here obviously 3 years ago. He is on a just tear right now. He won the Genesis Invitational, which is probably the hardest tournament they play all year other than here. You know, he's got like four straight top 10 finishes, and of course he's always played well at Augusta. I think he's had four straight top 20s here on top of his win. So I love where Hideki's at right now coming out of those few years of injuries. So he's my personal pick.
Hey Brody, really appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the week.
Thank you for having me, guys. Take care.
There is Brody Miller of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Brody A. Miller, covers golf for The Athletic. You can read that article on Victor Hovland as well and how he's shaping up ahead of this week's tournament. Tomorrow, all the action gets going at Augusta. Hopefully, it is supposed to rain. It is potentially supposed to storm. So we'll see how much golf they actually get in. But it is the most exciting week in golf from a casual fan's point of view, I would say. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully we get a full day's worth of golf in tomorrow. It is the People Show, and this segment of the People Show is brought to you by Hyundai. The 2024 Santa Fe Hybrid NHL Edition is made for those who drive hockey. Only 500 available. Order yours today. It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf. Appreciate everyone texting in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. Everyone listening as well. Appreciate producer Ben Besseron jumping in to help with that interview as well. And my co-host Dominic Shermati. This has been the People Show. I've been Josh Elliott Wolf. Coming up next, Canuck Central. Satyar Shah, Israel Fair on Sportsnet 650.